Well, good morning, friends, neighbors, and countrymen. Lend me your ears. Hey, App.
Hey.
Do you know who said that?
Lend me your ears?
Yeah.
I don't.
That was Julius Caesar.
Really?
That was actually a quote from Julius Caesar. I thought it came from, like, Dwight D. Eisenhower
or something
like that. But that came from Julius himself. You know, because if you didn't lend him, he was going to cut him off. That's what... I just made that up.
Ouch.
That's probably not accurate. But anyway, I'm glad you folks are here. It is a Monday, right? It's not a holiday, is it?
No.
Okay. I didn't know. It is still September, and we're plowing through September at a rapid pace.
First day of fall is this week.
Okay. I like fall.
I
don't
do
you?
I do.
I like wearing long sleeve shirts. And
I like wearing boots.
Yeah. I might have to even break out my Irish hat, my wool hat that I got in Ireland.
Your James Taylor hat.
Yeah, he does wear those now, doesn't he?
He does.
Okay. Do you remember, no, you're probably too young, when people used to remember to follow up with you because they wrote something down or it just came to their mind and they would write you a little note? Is that too old for you?
No, because oddly enough, I am one of those people.
I write notes. Yeah. Yeah, you like with the written word.
And I write stuff down.
You've got to see your planner, folks. It's even color-coded.
It is.
She's an organized person.
It really helps,
though. She took that after me. Except when you write stuff down, you remember to look at it. I write stuff down, and I remember to look at about half of it.
Well, you have passed down the gene to keep a planner.
Let's not get personal.
My cousin Max also keeps one. But probably the most influential person about keeping a planner was actually, he's a customer of ours. His name's Walter Johnson. And he came to my history class in high school and talked about how he has all of his planners back to the 70s.
That sounds kind of boring.
But he got me.
Yeah.
So here I am.
He hooked you. But the reason I'm saying that is because today we have a computer system built into the dealership. It's called a customer relationship management tool. And we don't work on cars with it. We actually use that to remind salespeople to follow up. And also, it does a lot of our follow-up for us electronically. Isn't that sad that people can't remember to write a note and remember something on their own and follow up?
It doesn't actually. If anything's dispatched out of our dealership in terms of an email, it is sent by someone. It's not automatically sent out of that system.
So we have it set up differently than some dealers. Obviously, there's a lot of businesses that follow up with you when you go to their website and you check on something. Then you are, from then on, it's like the National Security Agency is following you around. There's a little car. It's like having a black car with the windows sitting outside your house and a couple guys in there smoking cigarettes waiting for you to come out so they can follow you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's like. I mean, it's just, to me, I've done a little bit of business with some companies. Well, a lot of business with one of them. It's called Colonel Littleton. I probably shouldn't told you that, because if you're a guy and you like leather, then you're probably going to go check it out. ColonelLittleton.com. But anyway, he is a master at following up and staying in front of my face. And ever since I was on his website, he's going after me every week, trying to get me to buy some leather goods. Yeah, I've dropped a load with Colonel Littleton.
Yeah.
I've dropped enough that he could probably fill up one of those bags with the dollar. No, not that bad. But anyway, it's following up is a lost art with a lot of people. There's a lady that used to work for me many years ago. And she was a good salesperson, not great, but she's become great. And not because she worked with me, but because she has continued to stay in the automotive or related field. Right now she's in the RV business and does a great job at it. Tri-Am RV, her name is Roberta Drake. And, you know, I was out there the other day, and she was too busy to wait on me, but she sent me a nice note today. Now, it was an email. But it was a nice note telling me that it was nice seeing me the other day, and if there's anything that I can do for you, just don't hesitate to let me know. And I thought that's nice.
I think meaningful follow-up is wonderful, but to just be hammered by stuff that doesn't provide you any information or this just annoying fault, that is almost an insult.
And when you go to a car dealership, more than likely you're going to run into one of two types of creatures on the sales floor. I say creatures. That wasn't nice. Individuals, salespeople, and you're either going to have people that are too aggressive or not aggressive enough. Now, I've had customers complain because nobody waited on them. I've heard that before.
I've heard
that, Lenny,
too.
I would have bought a car from you, but I couldn't get anybody to wait on me. Uh-huh. You know, well, we've got 10 or 12 salespeople, and that breaks my heart. It really does. I mean, it just frustrates the, you know what, out of me. But unfortunately, this is the kind of business where you have to be waited on, right? And so, you know, you go to a dealership and you get waited on too soon. That's also not something that you want. It's just, it's no difference than, you know, different than going to Parks Belk. It's not called Parks Belk anymore, is it?
Just Belk. Just they dropped the Parks.
Wonder what happened to Mr. Parks.
I don't know. But you get complaints, too, about people that they say that salespeople are irritating, you know? So it's difficult to know. You know, you know, there are different places you can go where the customer service is almost too good, and there everybody's saying, hi, how are you? Can I help you? And you're just constantly like, I'm all right. I'm okay.
But, you know, you need a good salesman, though.
Right, of course.
I mean, to me, there's nothing more valuable than somebody that knows what the heck they're talking about and can show you what you have. Now, you know, I'm not into pushy, but I am into aggressive conversation. You know, I mean, not, does that sound weird?
Aggressive probably isn't the right word.
Probably not the right word.
Just, you know, comfortable.
Legitimate conversation, you know, not pushiness.
Value-added
conversation. I think most people know when they're being pushed.
Right.
I think too many people that are out there buying cars don't respond correctly to it. You know, if you're out there buying a car, nobody wants to hurt somebody's feelings, right? But I also don't like to have my feelings hurt. And my feelings got hurt this morning. We got a phone call from somebody. My daughter Audra called me and said, all he said on the phone was, tell Lenny that I'm not happy and it's going to cost him some money. And he hung up on him. Well, we had his number. So I called him back, and I said, you know, I knew who it was because we looked him up, looked his number up in the system, and I said, why are you mad at me? And he said, well, you guys were working on my car, and you didn't fix it, and we spent some money, and I wrote you a check, and I left, and then I stopped payment on the check. I said, well, what'd you do that for? Why didn't you just call me? He said, well, I tried to call you. Well, I wasn't there. I'm here now. Let's solve this problem. I mean, people get mad, right? And sometimes they don't even give you a chance. Those are the ones that frustrate me. I want somebody to give me a chance to respond. But a lot of people just won't complain. I talked about that the other day, how important it is for people to complain because it helps businesses get better. Would you agree with that, Rachel Abigail?
I would agree, but the way you complain is not by stopping payment on a check.
No, I agree with that, especially when it's a $2,800 check.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You can pre-order your iPhone right now. Isn't that funny how that Apple is just able to suck people right in? You know, we're going through that. You know, people just really adore Apple or they adore Google. Those are really the only two players now, Android or Apple.
Yep.
I remember when we used to buy several other name brands.
BlackBerry.
Like Motorola. Can you think of another one?
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those were players in the cell phone industry, and now they're not there.
Palm Pilot?
No, that was not a phone.
I had a Palm Pilot phone.
Oh, did
you?
Okay. My apologies then. Okay, so this same kind of thing is going on right now with cars, and people are it's never been a situation where the demand was so much higher than the supply. And that's where we find ourselves right now. So you have to be extra careful. And I'm going to talk to you about some of that. I'm also going to talk about some of the just curious auction goings on for cars right now. And the kind of money that they're bringing is just insane. And I think so much of it is driven by the prosperity of a lot of Americans. And people say, well, you know, the upper 1%, they always have the most money. Well, yeah, the upper 1%. But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people whose 401ks have been really doing well and people who have their houses paid for and you know, or just like to collect cars. There's a lot of money circulating out there. And you look at stock values, and it's really driving this tremendous demand for some of these collector cars right now. So we'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, we're back. My grandson just arrived at the dealership, Abby's little boy. He's outside. We've got him sequestered right now.
Aunt Waddy's taking care of him.
Yeah. We call Audra, my youngest, we call her Waddy. How'd she get that name?
Ivy couldn't say Audra.
Okay. So Abby is in here, and her little boy Henry is out there with Nanny and Waddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we got all the names straight.
Yeah,
and he's waiting on Pop-Pop.
Waiting on Pop-Pop.
So Pop-Pop's supposed to be taking Henry to the Kubota tractor place. And then we have an appointment Saturday for Bo, one of Audra's little boys, and Henry to go to the Miller Industries place here in town. You know, folks, you know what Miller Industries does? Well, if you are having your vehicle towed, either on a rollback or with a wrecker, probably came from Miller Industries, because they basically have that market cornered. And they've had an operation in Greenville for some time. If you've ever been through Chattanooga and looked to the right on I-75, you remember that? You remember seeing that, Abby? Just a monstrous plant. And you see a bunch of wreckers and wrecker bodies over there. Well, that's the first I ever heard of them. They used to make Century was another brand that they do. They have several brand names. But anyway, they operate out of Greenville, Tennessee right now, and they have a very sophisticated plant. Amazing if you can get in that place and see how they cut through metal like butter. I mean, just big old thick sheets of steel.
Henry's
going to
be really
lasers.
Excited.
It's like Star Wars.
Wow.
But and it's all automated. So we're going to go over there and crawl all over some of those big trucks. Last time I took Bo over there, he was rather hesitant to get into the driver's seat. But we'll see. Anyway, auction values are just nuts. Gooding and Company. Have you ever heard of Gooding and Company?
Yes.
So that's one of the big auctions that I go to every year when I go to the Amelia Island Concours d'Elegance. Now, I'm staying in a Hampton Inn, you know, when I go down there. I'm not staying at the Ritz-Carlton. I can't afford the rooms. But I do get to have a good time looking at the cars and going to these auctions and rubbing elbows with the rich people. I get to drink the free orange juice and the apple juice.
And walk on that pretty, pretty golf course.
Yeah, I walk on the golf course. But the Gooding auction is, you know, it's a high-end auction. Now, one of the reasons I really like bringatrailer.com is the auction site that I use, the online auction, is I don't have to haul a car to an auction. I just get to take pictures of it and send it in and sit there and watch it on my computer. And also, there's a much bigger audience as well. I mean, many times I will have 10,000 people watching one auction on one car just because it's the power of the internet. Now, Gooding, you've got about 400 or 500 people sitting out there in the audience. But they are the upper 1%. You know, just some examples. Occasionally, you can go to a Gooding auction. You'll see some affordable cars. They just kind of have that low-hanging fruit for the plebs.
Mm-hmm. Just to have something for everybody.
Yeah. But then they get to the big boys. Like on this 1968 Lamborghini Miura, Jay Leno said that this is one of the most beautiful cars, in his opinion, that was ever made. I'd say it's up there. I mean, it's definitely in the top 10. It sold for £737,000. That's over $1 million. Yeah, in dollars. 1969 Ford GT40. Now, this was the car that raced at Le Mans, okay? Did you see the movie Ford versus Ferrari?
I haven't seen that movie.
What?
I know. I haven't seen it.
I cannot believe you have not seen that movie. Here I am, a Ford dealer, and Ford beat Ferrari, and you haven't watched it.
I know.
You work at a Ford dealership.
I was going to go see it with you, but I think I had a newborn at the time.
Mm-hmm. That's a lame excuse.
Yeah.
Anyway, 1969 Ford GT40. Now, they beat Ferrari. Right beside my computer right now, if Abby looks up on the wall, is photos from that actual race. And here they are crossing first, second, and third. And the guy that thought he got first, Ken Miles, actually got second because he didn't travel as far as the other car did. He started further up the grid. That was just not fair.
Oh, so
and also something else that was in the movie that's not true is Enzo Ferrari was not at that race. He never went to a race. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
I don't even think Henry Ford was there, but they said he was in the movie. You can't tell. They always blow these things up. But anyway, this 69 GT40. Now, folks, this is somebody's play money. Think about this. 2.5 million pounds, which is about, I'm guessing, I don't know, is a pound like $1.40?
Something like that.
You know, so you're looking in close to $4 million for that car. I remember back in the 60s and early 70s, Fiat was basically owned Ferrari, okay? And so Enzo's son, name of Dino, you ever heard that name?
Mm-hmm.
Dino Ferrari.
Yeah.
Dino had some type of a disease. I can't remember what it was. It was either cancer or liver problem or something like that, but he passed away. And his dad, Enzo, created this car called the Dino. And they had and it was made, it doesn't say Ferrari anywhere on the car, okay? It just says Dino on the front and on the back. It was literally made by Fiat. And they had a coupe version of the car, and then they had I'll show you a picture if I could get my computer around, but they have a little sports car. It looks like a typical Ferrari. And for many years, you know, up till about, I'm going to say 10 years ago, you could buy a Dino in the $40,000, $50,000 range. Maybe up, if it was really nice, maybe $100,000. Little six-cylinder V6, not real powerful. These cars are bringing $600,000 to $700,000. Now, I've watched these go up like crazy. This particular one sold for 456,000 pounds, which, you know, that's getting up there probably six in the mid-sixes. I'm not doing the math very well here. But this is the kind of stuff that you see selling at these Gooding auctions. And the bad thing for the seller and for the buyer is that when you go to one of these auctions, the seller is paying 10% to get them to sell the car. And the buyer is also paying 10%.
Chewy.
And now when they get up in the really, really high dollar ranges, you know, they cut back on that a little bit. But isn't that awful? That's why, other than the fact that it saves me a bunch of time, that I use bringatrailer.com simply because it's the they don't charge me but $99 to list a car. And they charge the buyer 5% to buy the car.
Now, do you see those Dinos continuing to go up in value, or will they back off?
I don't know. You know, it's just like the stock market. You know, folks, if you've got an old Mustang in your garage, I know you do. I know you've got it hid from me. And I want it. But anyway, I only want it if it's a fastback. I'll take a convertible. I'm not interested in coupes. Although, I saw a coupe at the car show. You remember the one that was on Main Street not too long ago where they had just hundreds and hundreds of cars? I would have taken that coupe.
Yeah.
But he ain't selling. I tried. Some people just don't want to sell. I get it. I don't have a problem
with that. You try, though. You go for it.
I'm not selling. Just let somebody. I'm going to break somebody's heart someday on my 65 Corvair. Somebody's going to want to buy it. And I say, no, I'm not selling it.
I said, Corvair.
I'm going to wait till till I'm gone and my family has to sell it. There's a couple things they're going to have to liquidate or just keep forever. They can just pass them on.
Well, you know me. I'll keep it all.
Yeah, you probably will. You're not a hoarder, but you do like to keep
sentimental.
Nostalgic stuff. Yeah. So anyway, folks, I don't know if there's a lesson here. All I do know is that if you've got some money laying in a bank account right now and it's earning like 0.0001%, it's probably not best to leave it there since inflation went up, I think, through August at 8%. So we're all losing money unless you're buying something. I'm not advocating that you just go out and start buying every junker car that you see. But, you know, some of this stuff is just continuing to go up. And if you are a savvy car person, then you can make some money doing this. Otherwise, just trust your stockbroker, I guess. You know.
They're used to it.
Yeah. We have ups and downs, but this has been a long ride, hasn't it, Ab?
It has.
Yeah. Well, folks, we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. We're coming back from, I think we were staying in Williamsburg, mm-hmm. weren't we, or somewhere near there. And we're coming down the road in a camper, and I'm just, you know, listening to James Taylor, and the kids are in the back seat stuff, and Tara's there, and this car pulls up beside me and tries to get me to roll down my window. And I finally do. They get my attention. They says, "Your bike fell off." So I have this four bike rack on the back of this camper, and one or two of the bikes had decided to
drag.
Yeah, they were dragging. Yeah. One of them had, I had actually drug off a significant portion of the handlebars and the wheels on the other one. So anyway, make sure you, if you're taking anything, make sure you strap it on good. Well, anyway, we'll take our final break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, folks, I'm back. I think I told y'all last week that I bought one of those sunsetter shades to go over my back porch.
Yes.
You haven't seen it yet, have you?
I have not. I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, it's defective.
Oh,
it's got a bent rod in it. And so, you know, while the guy was installing it, he got it up there and he started spinning around, rolling it out, and he could just see it. Oh, it's got a bent rod. I said, what do we do about that? And he said, well, I'll have to order another rod. I said, well, that's great. Can I open it and close it? He said, well, don't do it a lot. Just do it a little. So I can't even use my sunsetter thing. But, folks, when you get a, if you buy a car, or if you get a service, I know it's really inconvenient to have to go back to the dealership, but it is so important to let them know quickly when you're not happy. We had a customer a couple weeks ago that bought a car on a Saturday, and on Monday morning, they beat us here. Serious case of buyer's remorse. And I have seen that. I hear somebody yelling pop-pop outside. So it really is beneficial if you jump on it quickly. Now, there's some dealerships, folks, and I'll just tell you, they won't let you out of a deal. If you make a deal on Saturday, you go back on Monday. I don't care how early you get there. They're not gonna back up. And the truth of the matter is, they don't have to. There's no law that says that they have to let you out of a deal. There is no 3-day right of rescission on a car purchase unless it is done on your kitchen table at your house. You can get out of a deal within 3 days if the actual transaction doesn't happen at the dealership. So just keep that in mind.
I will tell you, though, from my experience, if you come in there and you come in hot, it's not as likely to go your way.
No, that's true. So be nice. And, the best thing is just don't jump into something that you don't feel comfortable with. Make sure that you want the car. If you're not sure, go home and think about it. I'm the go home and think about it dealer. That's me.
And if they won't let you, find another dealer.
There you go. Well, folks, thanks for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow for another edition of My Car Guru.